Good evening, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you are visiting with us this evening, I'd like to say from my heart and the rest of us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, we're glad that you're here, and we hope that any time that you're able to come out and worship with us, that you would absolutely do so. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, I see you. I'm glad to see your faces. I'm glad that you're here this evening for us to continue to get back into the groove of worshiping and having two worship services. And I'm proud of you guys, and I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. All right. I'm doing something a little different, something I haven't tried before. But what I would like to do is, since we are in the Bible class, speaking on being members of one another and loving one another, I thought that it would be pretty unique that we talk about wisdom in matters of friendship and how important that is. And hopefully what I impart on you will give you a little more insight and a little more encouragement as we continue to build our personal relationship with Christ and with one another. So I thought about Proverbs, and what I'm going to try to do is use Proverbs because I think it's a great amount of wisdom in the book of Proverbs pertaining to friendship. So as social creatures living on an inhabited planet, it's, you know, impossible to avoid associations with fellow human beings. Like, it's just impossible, especially for those of us in a household of faith. But as Christians, it's important that our dealings with other people are conducted in matters of wisdom. And so I want to try to encourage you this evening to that point. Now, as Paul wrote to the Colossians, though he was speaking specifically to the conduct of those who were non-Christians, I think that it also applies to us as Christians, friends, as well. So over in Colossians chapter 4, looking at verses 5 and 6, the infallible word of God says, "Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." In his all-sufficient word, God has provided the necessary wisdom for us whereby we can develop a good relationship with those that are around us, which I feel that is important. And he also is giving us wisdom on how to avoid the pitfalls that often destroy good relationships and friendships. And again, I said a good portion of this wisdom is found in the book of Proverbs. So the first thing that I want to look at is the value of a good friend, the value of a good friend. In Proverbs 17, verse 17, it says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Listen, in good times and in bad times, the best type of friend that you want is a friend that brings a source of comfort. And I think it's important for us to do that, because not only can they be a source of comfort, a friend is someone who can be a source of good counsel. Right. So if that comfort comes in when you are dealing with an individual who has the wisdom and the understanding of how to deal with certain situations, and they can give you some insight on how you ought to conduct yourselves. In Proverbs 27 and verse 29, it says, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel." When you have someone that loves you and cares about you dearly, you would need to surround yourself around people who give you some counsel that will help you in your walk with Christ and develop you into the characteristics of Christ. And that counsel can be a delight to the heart. If you can think about all of the times that you went through something in your life, there was nothing like a friend that you could talk to that would give you some wise counsel, that would lead you in the right direction if you're at a crossroad or you're dealing with some difficult situations in your life. Now, the value of that counsel is generally seen, right, when you are put to the test. So in Proverbs 11 and 14, it says, "Where there is no guidance, a people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there's safety." So that's why it's so important for us as believers to surround ourselves with one another, to spend time with one another, because typically you're not going to get the counsel of the world from a brother and sister in Christ. They typically are going to go to the Word of God. They're going to use the wisdom of the Word, the things that they've learned in the Word of God, and give that to you. And it will help you throughout all the pitfalls that you could face. It will keep you from dealing with all of those things. And then that abundance of counselors will keep you safe. You know, a friend who can be trusted to be a source of good counsel is certainly a blessing. I count all of you as a blessing. Those of you who give me input, who give me insight, who call me, who encourage me, who text me. And I'm sure when you do that to one another, it's so encouraging. You know, I accept all types of counsel and wisdom. Me and Greg have a thing where if there's something that he wants to give me historically, give me a little bit more background, he'll say, let me talk to you for a second. And I'm okay with that. And I appreciate that with Greg. I appreciate the text that I get about how the preaching is or the subject matter and how it may have touched you. That means so much to me. And having friends like that, that are dependable, who lift you up, who give you good counsel, is not easy to come by. And I think it's important for us not to take for granted the relationships that we can build in Christ. And I think we should continue to build those relationships. So I want you to consider some advice, especially for my young people, on the selection of friends that you have. In Proverbs 20 and verse 19, the Bible says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. So basically, simply is put, we don't need to be around people who gossip. People who gossip and keep up all types of things, we don't need to be around those types of people. We definitely need to stay away from short-tempered people. People who have a short fuse, who blow up at all times, at any time. You know that I'm sure some of y'all growing up had a friend that wherever you go, wherever you went, to the movies, to the skating rink, to the mall, there was always some chaos that followed them. You couldn't leave them for 2 to 3 minutes. They're arguing or fighting with somebody, whether it's in line, in the parking lot, wherever that is. That's not good wisdom to keep a short-tempered person around you. In Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25, it says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. You think about all those times where your friend got into it because it's your friend. Now, all of a sudden, you in the mess, too. Right. You got to have your friends back. Now you in a situation, or maybe you're riding with somebody and they're doing some things that you don't agree with, but because you're with them. Now you're in it. You are entangled in whatever it is that they have incited. And so it's important for us that the company that we keep, especially my young people, that the company that you keep are those who are truly developing the characteristics of Christ. Another thing that we have to be careful of about our friends and choosing them is those who give in to drinking, those who are gluttonous. That's found in Proverbs 23, 20 and 21. Another one that's very important for us is liars, those who are untrustworthy, those who are inconsiderate. I believe that a liar is an inconsiderate person. Right. Because they don't think about the consequences. They could care less about you, because when a person lies, it's more about them than it's ever about you. Right. I'm lying because I don't want you to be mad at me. I don't want you to be disappointed with me, opposed to I care enough about you to be honest with you, to talk to you about what's going on with me or what's going on with you. In Proverbs 25, verses 18 and through 20. It says, a man who bears false witness against his neighbors is like a war club or sword or a sharp arrow. Trusting in a treacherous man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot that slips. Now, how many of you have dealt with a bad tooth, a toothache? Or maybe to the point where you had to get a root canal. Kept you up all night, right? It was the worst thing ever. I had one when I was probably in college. Maybe I was 17 and I was in college. That thing was awful. There was nothing worse to me outside of toothache than you waking up in the middle of the night and hitting your toe on something hard. Those two are the worst, right? Anybody agree with that? those are the worst. But when you think about that in terms of friendship, right, that's nothing worse than that. And then it goes on to say that whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on a soda. Can you imagine putting vinegar in your Pepsi, in your Coke? That seems awful, isn't it? And I think that's the point. It's so important for us not to deal with people who are untrustworthy, right? Those who are liars. And Proverbs has so much. I can go on and on. I mean, if you're in the book of Proverbs, we can keep going. It also talks about those given to violence in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19. So those are the type of friends we ought to be careful in when selecting those who we spend time with. But here are the sorts of friends that you want to have when thinking about building relationships. Those who display wisdom themselves, right? You want to spend time with some people that display wisdom themselves. Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. It probably would behoove us to hang around some people that got a little bit of sense about them. People who will give you the right type of input and knowledge about how you deal with certain things. In Proverbs 13, it talks about the teaching and the counsel that will help lead you in the right way. I don't know about you, but I definitely want people around me who are wise. My father used to always tell me, and I'm a firm believer in this, that a wise man seeks counsel. You don't have all the answers, and you need to surround yourself with men and women who are all about growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's so important. As Paul said, the wrong kind of friends can be a corruptive influence in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. But a friend who is good and wise is the one you want to hold on to. You know, a lot of times we don't want to hold on to the friends who tell us the truth, right? We want the friends that give us all the types of kudos, the data boys that tell you you can't do no wrong. Man, you say, oh, man, that was awesome. That's cool. And they just patting you on the back. But all along, you're doing things that are not pleasing to God. You want a friend that will tell you that's not cool. That's not the characteristics of Christ. That's not how you ought to be acting. That's not nice. You want people around you that are going to tell you the truth of the matter. And I think it's important as we continue to strive to become better acquainted with one another as we build these intimate and personal relationships with one another. Now, I want to give you a little bit of advice on maintaining a good friendship, things to avoid which can disrupt a good friendship. One of the things that I've learned in being in college, it seemed like when I was with those guys and basketball players and we were roommates and stuff, it wasn't until I got my own personal room that our relationships got better. I promise it was like Atlanta Housewives in that dorm room. If you've ever seen it or in any other reality TV show, you pretty much know that it's a bunch of chaos. And here you have a bunch of grown men and they're arguing about any and everything. Right. Who used my toothbrush? Who ate up mama's, you know, peach cobbler? And it's just something over and over again. But one of the things that I learned that was very detrimental is that you don't repeat everything you hear. When you have an intimate relationship and a personal relationship with somebody and they invest in you and you invest in them and you tell them certain things that are very personal to you, you don't repeat those things. Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever loves transgression loves strife. Right? He who makes his door high seeks destruction. And it's so important for us to not repeat everything that we hear and talk about other people and their problems. The other thing that I learned was we have to avoid senseless arguments. That's a lesson I learned not just with dealing with people, but being a husband. Amen. 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 That's what I'm talking about. Amen. You have to avoid senseless arguments. Proverbs 17:14 says the beginning of strife is like letting out water. Right? And so quit before the quarrel breaks out. And what was the song? Who used to sing the song? You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. Who sings that? Anybody know who sings that? Who? Kenny Rogers. Well, now that's the book of Chris. You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. You got to know when to quit But it's so important because you're talking about developing relationships. And as a believer, as a follower of Christ, now, again, you have to remember what Paul was talking about was those who are outside of the household of faith. Right. So it's twofold. You have on one end, you're trying to show people the love of Christ, the importance of what love looks like, the importance of what patience looks like, the importance of what love looks like. But in the same token, you have to extend that same type of love, that same type of patience with those who are in the household of faith. And believe you me, there are arguments that break out in the Church of Christ as well. Right. There are arguments that break out in the church all the time, and there are senseless arguments, and they usually lead to some splits or some people leaving or some people giving up on God altogether. So we have to be very careful about that. One of the things that I love, because a lot of people do this, that I like to use for especially family members, don't overstay your welcome. Hey, man, don't overstay your welcome. Don't stay as long. Don't stay too long. And what I mean by don't overstay your welcome, I mean by doing too much. Some people may have you over to the house, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you spend the night. But, you know, you do more than what you need to, meaning that you take advantage of their kindness, right? You're using their kindness for your advantage. And it's found in Proverbs 25 and 17. The next one is don't meddle in affairs that are not your own. That's pretty important for us. In this point in time where we are developing relationships, Proverbs 26:17 says, whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. So what that sounds like to me is that you have a person that's walking a dog, and you decide, not knowing the dog, not knowing the temperament of the dog, and you just grab his ears and pull it up. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Dog might bite your arm off, attack you, do something to you. But that's the same type of context in which it's saying you don't know all that goes on in the household of an individual for you to go about talking about their business, meddling in their affairs, not knowing how they're going to react or how it would destroy or how it would disrupt what they're trying to fix even. And so if you're going to be a part of anything that you hear of your brothers and sisters going through, they having some trouble in paradise, they having trouble with their kids, how about us use the approach of, hey, is there anything that I can do for you? Can I pray for you, brother? Can I pray for you, sister? I've heard that you've been going through some things, and that's all I need to know. So just tell me, what can I do outside of praying for you? The other thing that we have to be careful of, especially when dealing with those out in the outside world, is you want to be careful of playing bad jokes on people. You want to be careful of the conversations that you have that are not useful. So when you're at the workplace and people are saying things and bad jokes and tasteless jokes, you either have to stand up and be man enough or woman enough to say, hey, can we talk about something else? Or that's not Christ-like. And you can change the whole narrative, or you can talk about something else. Hey, guys, we worship at this time. Anything that you can do, but make sure that you don't get involved in playing the bad jokes. The other thing is found in Proverbs 26 and 21. Don't be contentious. Don't engage in insincere flattery. Proverbs 27:14. You know, you just saying whatever you can say, just to flatter people. But you're not being honest. You're not being truthful. And I think it's important for us to not engage in insincere flattery. I think it's important for us to build each other up, but not through lies, not through insincerity. So let's make sure that we're doing this. I think if we follow such advice, one is less likely to offend his brother or sister or his friend or her friend. But sometimes we do, right? Sometimes we do make mistakes. Sometimes we do fall short. And this is why I'm telling you all about these things and this wisdom and the matters of friendship, because when you break that trust and that confidence in you has been affected, it's not easy regaining that. It's not easy rebuilding those friendships that were broken because you lied or because of a senseless argument or because you repeated their business or you're gossiping about them. That's very hard to do. But it can be done. In Proverbs 18:19, it says, a brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city. This is how important this is, that we have to be careful how we treat each other. It also says, that a quarreling is like the bars of a castle. And if you think about a castle when they had those bars and, you know, in the prisons or in the little windowsill that you couldn't get in, that was not an easy thing. You couldn't just, you know, pull that out. Now you think about the friendships that are damaged when we don't do what we're supposed to do as brothers and sisters in Christ to the outside world and to those who are in the household of faith. We have to be very, very careful. But this is what could be done to solve problems with our friends. In Proverbs 16 and verse 17, it says, when a man ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So the first thing that you must do is make sure that you are at peace with the Lord. Make sure that you're right with God and you're doing the things that you need to do. Once that is fixed, you've repented of that thing that you did. You went to your brother or sister and asked them to forgive you. You're on the right path. What they do with that is on them. But when you do that and you trust in the Lord, it says when a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies, not your best friend that you had a falling out with. He says even your enemies to be at peace with you. So it's so important for us to do this. And the other thing is we have to be slow to anger. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. You'd be amazed in how you can diffuse a lot of foolishness by your approach, just simply by your tone. One of the things that I learned when people are screaming or you know, hollering at you, or you're trying to have a conversation or back and forth about whatever it may be, whenever they're like, yeah, I'm gonna tell you, and I tell you one thing, and I say this, and I tell you again, and I just say, so, what'd you say? There's no need, right? When you're quiet and you're much more settled, it quiets that contention. You yelling and they yelling, and then somebody trying to get higher than you, and then you trying to get higher than them, and then now you're just yelling and screaming, and nothing is getting accomplished. My grandmother taught me that. She said, when people are yelling and screaming, just talk as low as you possibly can. And when they can't hear anything you're saying, they're finally going to say, what'd you say? Try it. It may work for you. It worked for me. The other thing is that we need to be slow to respond. Sometimes we'll be so quick to want to tell people what we think. Let me just give you my advice. I just got to go on. There's a place and a time to do everything. And remember, we're building personal relationships with people who are outside of the household of faith. And we also have to be careful with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We'll be so quick to want to tell somebody that they're wrong. But we ought to be quick to build people up. We ought to be quick to encourage them. Right? One thing that I learned from my wife and my stepmom was, if a person don't ask you for your advice, don't give it. It has worked wonders. I'm telling you, you're going to say, well, let me tell you something. This is what I think you ought to do. Ain't nobody asked you nothing. They don't want no advice from you. And yet you want to do that. And I feel that that's one of the things that I had to learn to do. You don't have to give everybody advice. You just sit back, you relax. And if they want your help, if they're requiring counseling, they will ask you. And so it's so important for us to remember that. And you have to avoid that quarreling. So you have to be slow to respond. That's found in Proverbs 18 and verse 13. And then what I said earlier about speaking gently. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So we have to be careful about that. And another thing that I learned. Proverbs 10:19. That does not go well when you talk a real long time. You need to speak briefly. You need to say what you're going to say. Don't tarry long on the situation. Didi tell me all the time. I be sitting when I'm talking to people and it's going long. She be in the background. It's too much. Right? Too much. You don't have to tarry long. You basically after a while are saying the same thing in different ways over and over again. But if you want to encourage people, say what you need to say. If they ask you for your advice, if they're asking you for some encouragement, speak briefly, say what you have to say. But more importantly, when it's all said and done, be quick, but show love. When it's all said and done, we have to show love to one another. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. But on the other hand, if necessary, I think it's better for us to rebuke than to flatter. I think a lot of times we want to flatter people even when we know that they're wrong, even though we know that they're struggling. We just like, oh, you're doing really well. No, you're not. We have to simply say, where you been? I ain't seen you in a while. You know, we miss you. There's ways to do it and be respectful. But I think it's important for us to rebuke and flatter because they will never change. They think that the behavior in which they're displaying is appropriate. And if we don't tell them that there needs to be a change in the way that they're behaving and the way that they're acting, but do so in love, they will never change. They'll never change. So listen, in conclusion, proper application to wisdom of God is found throughout his word. But I thought that it was really cool how many verses that I could have used simply dealing with the matters of friendship. And I thought it was very applicable to what we have talking about one another and building those personal relationships. I think through his word, he can truly assure us that we can enjoy the blessing of good friendship. He's given us the keys to have good relationships, to have good friendships in this life. And I think that we can enjoy these so much that when we build them, especially in the household of faith, not only can we enjoy them for a lifetime, we can enjoy them for eternity. Why? Because I expect to see you there. I expect to see you in heaven. I hope you expect to see me in heaven. And if we're all doing the same thing as we're building these personal relationships, living a life pleasing to God, then it not only will be for a lifetime, it's going to be for eternity. I'm your eternal friend. And ain't nothing you could do about it. So rather than depend on trial and error, let us learn how to win friends and influence people through God's word. Let the word of God be our guide to help us in the matters of friendship. But of all the friendships that we can possibly develop, none can excel the personal relationship that we can have with Jesus the Christ. And that's the one who sticks closer than a brother. If you can't have one friend, if you can't make not one friend, your main objective ought to be a friend of Jesus Christ. All of these things that I'm talking about in the matters of friendship can help you not only grow closer to people, but it can definitely help you grow closer to Christ. In John 15, verse 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And Christ did that for you and for me. Now, that's a friend. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. We just sang that. No, not one. And I appreciate that. You are my friends. You are my friends, Christ says, if you do whatever I command you. So if you want a friend in Jesus, all you have to do is what he commands you to do. And the first thing that he says to you is become my sons and daughters by putting me on in baptism. Put Christ on in baptism. Begin there and develop that personal relationship. So if you hear this evening and you want to put Christ on in baptism so that you can have that personal relationship and friendship with him, by all means, this is the time to do it. And if you are a Christian and maybe you have been struggling in the matters of friendship, you have an opportunity to change that today. If you sin publicly, you want to make a public confession, you need the prayers of the church, or you want to talk, or you want to study, whatever it takes to get you where you need to be, you have a friend in me and you have a friend in Jesus Christ. So if you're subject to the invitation, come now. Together we stand and sing.